Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose, Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We are never let them know. The new world government has been identified, and they thought they just closed the world economy, bringing in a worldwide police state.
When you forget it,
it's gonna bring them down.
You have to stand up, speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Shalom, and praises to the Father. More and more, we see the lies and the deceptions of the world, where it should be obvious we are in a spiritual battle. So I'd like to invite you to tune into the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, where we will reason together according to the Holy Scriptures. Also, blessing you with an occasional guest, our spiritual common sense commentary, and spiritual uplifting songs that give praises to our Father. You can call in and speak to our host, or just listen to the show at 347-324-3704 every Tuesday and Saturday, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Or you can tune into our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. Blessings and peace to your heart.
You're listening to the Freedomizer Radio Network and the Sound Doctrine Ministries program, where freedom, liberty, and truth live.
We'll be right back. without your blessing upon me. Never thought I'd find a love so real. Never thought I'd find a love so true. Never thought I'd find a love so pure. I found it all in you.
Blessings from Yah. Blessings come from on high. Afternoon, my brothers and sisters, all of the saints of the Most High, all of you Messiahites out there, Freedomizers, family, and friends, welcome to the Sound Doctrine Ministries Sabbath Show. I am your host, the Father's servant, Emmanuel, and we are here to instruct, enlighten, and uplift the name of our Creator and our Heavenly Father. And joining us, as always, our dear sister in the body of believers, Sister Asa. Welcome to the program, Sister Asa.
Shabbat Shalom.
Hallelujah. And how are you doing? I guess you've been busy. We haven't been able to catch up with you since Tuesday's show.
Well, all things were normal until right before Shabbat hit, about 2 hours before Shabbat hit. I was braiding Phoebe's hair, and she all of a sudden was telling me her stomach was hurting. And next thing I knew, we had a flood coming from both ends. And that went on. You know, I was able to actually clean up things and everything before Shabbat rolled in. So I'm thankful to the Father for that. From there, it just went all night. I don't remember, let's see, last I remember was 2 o'clock, you know, laying with her and making sure she was okay and she still was throwing up. And, you know, so I was all
So you gave her some soup and got up under the cover right?
No. She ate a banana and now she's eating some toast.
Okay.
A lot better. But I was reading, and they say once they're able to keep something down or once they get past that vomiting stage, what is it? Banana, rice, applesauce, toast. So I gave her some banana. She was happy with that. She ate that, and now she's eating some Rudy's toast with a little bit of butter on it. And she is back to her normal state, you know. I know she's dehydrated because she keeps telling me she's thirsty. And I know last night she was very thirsty, but every time she drank something, it came right back up. So, and I mean, we went through water, we went through 7-Up, and even Jamaican ginger ale. You know, that Jamaican ginger ale has the real ginger in it.
It has ginger.
Yeah, not spicy taste, but ginger.
Ginger is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that, but I learned that these last few years, the properties in ginger. You can make a ginger tea, and unless it's something seriously wrong with you, it'll straighten you out.
Yeah. In fact, ginger is good for nauseation, period.
Nausea.
Yeah, my daughter had a really bad pregnancy. Her middle child, that pregnancy was so bad, she was working my nerves. And I made quite a bit of ginger tea for her, and it would keep her calm for a period of time. So it definitely works.
Hey, hallelujah.
Yes.
But for the natural, hallelujah. We better get back to this natural stuff, my brothers and sisters, because these evil men and their remedies are not remedies. They are something.
They're just Band-Aids.
Yes, Lord, that's all they want to do because they want you to come back. Because they want the hot tub in their summer cottage.
Mm-hmm.
So they make sure you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't heal you. That's not their job to heal you. They just want you to feel better for a little while. That way you'll come back the real underlying problem kicks in into high gear later. Because they probably know what's really wrong, but, you know, they don't address that, you know. And not every single doctor is this way, but most of them are. And,
yeah, they plead an oath. You know, when they come into it, they plead an oath. And that oath don't have nothing to do with what we think. That oath got all kind of paganistic stuff in it.
Well,
Yeah, and really what they do is they give you these medicines that actually stir up other ailments.
Sure they do.
My girlfriend, all types of side effects.
I've been telling my brothers and whatnot and everything, man, look, you know that piece of paper that come on the bag from the pharmacy?
Pay attention. You need to read that. Yeah.
You need to read that because that'll tell you, they prescribe this, and it'll help that. But once you get to reading that little paper, it'll start telling you about the side effects of the drug that you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I saw one. I don't know what that was for, but I saw one, and I'm reading it, and they make it, and they make sure it's small. Now, I got one here for the naproxen that they gave me for my back. And it says possible side effects. And they make it so small that you, if you're not feeling
good. That
you don't
even pay attention to want to read.
No,
like,
but you're not feeling good. You're not about to read this little old bitty tiny stuff. You know, they make it so small. I mean, I really have to look. Side effects that may occur while taking this medicine include upset stomach, vomiting, nausea, heartburn, gas, diarrhea, constipation, drowsiness, or dizziness. You know, it's like, oh, man. You know, you need to make sure, because I've read one medication they gave me, and it said may cause impotence.
Mm.
I threw that son of a gun away. And these people don't care. These people are so evil. They do not care about you in any shape, form, or fashion. You are product, and they want money. And that's all they see you as. You are not a person. They're a person. You are not. You are a product. You are a number. And that number depends on how good you get treated. Because if you got one of them good numbers, in other words, real good insurance, they'll treat you a little better. Because they're getting their money anyway. Because you got real good insurance. Please. These people, woe to those who put their trust in man. Their trust cannot be in man at all. You know, and we need to pray over everything before we wash our hands with, before we put it in our mouths, everything. Because these people are evil. This is Satan's world, my brothers and sisters. This is his world, and if we are calling ourselves walking right, we are the target audience, and they mean us no good.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm glad Phoebe is resting and doing better, poor little baby.
Yeah,
boy,
so we move.
That's hard. That you know, that's hard. You know, I've had a couple of bad toothaches in my life. And as bad as those toothaches were, I had a pain in my abdomen one day, a sigh, I would have rather had a toothache.
Mm-hmm.
I mean to tell you, because you think about, you know, your abdomen is your center.
Muscle that moves. That's your core.
If your center.
Core is weak, your whole body weak. If your
core
is strong,
and then you got
the
a pain there. If you have a pain there, you have a pain everywhere.
Yes.
You know, I mean to tell you, and I was like, oh, I would rather have a toothache. You know, that was bad. All right, well. So we will continue to hold up dear Phoebe in prayer that the Father will keep her. And, you know, we got to understand where our help comes from. And we are going to be addressing just that after the commercial break. And you might as well pull up Isaiah 53 or so for us, and we'll get to that after the commercial break, okay?
All right.
All right, let's do this, and then we'll go into our commercial break. We thank you all for joining us this afternoon. You're listening to the Sound Doctrine Spiritual Ministries Sabbath Show.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the ancient of days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the ancient of days.
Sister Asai, wonder where did Sister Asai get to that?
Oh, there I go. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sister Asai, did he just say, you shall be exalted, O God?
I think he does say that.
Oh, yeah.
Ancient of Days is one of his older ones.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, matter of fact, he does, because I pulled that up and I played it. And I, matter of fact, it's recorded live. The one that I have is recorded live. He did that one before he came to the name. So, yeah, he does say that.
Yeah, that's got to go. Okay. That's got to go. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's one of his older ones, Ancient of Days.
You know, we don't want to be hypocritical, and we're telling everybody, oh, it's power in his name and everything, and then we're still calling and playing these songs with these pagan names.
Yeah,
that's not going to work. Please forgive us. That one slipped through on us, but we got him now. Trust me.
My desire, no one else will do, 'cause no one else can take your place.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign Newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park very slowly. It made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news?
All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks.
80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required. That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes. Vote yes. Please vote yes. Count the cookie.
Freedomizer, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
Problems with Common Core, I don't even have time to go into most of them, but a step in the right direction would be to give local communities, teachers, parents control over their schools so they can design curriculums and standards to best meet the needs of their students and get the federal government out of education.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
And now, back to the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program.
Hallelujah. Father, Abba Father, we want to see your eyes. We're seeking your faith, your truth, your majesty, all that is you. Hallelujah. Alrighty, so I have been constantly trying to tell all of our brothers and sisters and those who are just seeking the truth that a name matters. And, you know, people, there is nothing new under the sun. Man has not just gotten to this point. All of these things have happened before. We don't learn. We just don't learn. Very few will find the path to righteousness and make it. Very few. You know, you can sit up and say whatever you want to say. But you need to think about the flood. Think about the flood. Millions of people on the planet. Eight were saved. Remember the children of Yashareel. Millions of people free, brought out of the land of Egypt. Two that were over the age of 20. Actually made it to the promised land. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, the Father ain't nobody to be playing with. And all that talking about and trying to blame him. Oh, he ain't going to send all those people to hell. No, but they going to send themselves. But don't take my word for it. Sister Asar, are you there?
Yes.
Sister Asai, I need Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. Would you please?
The 52nd or the 53rd?
52nd.
What's up, Sister Day?
Hey, Phoebe.
Okay.
Hi, Phoebe.
She can't hear you.
Oh, she can't hear me.
Hold on. Now she can hear you.
Hi, Phoebe.
Hi.
Shalom. You feeling better?
Yeah.
Okay. You be good, girl, while Mama read, and I'll play your song for you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Asar.
All right, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the Kodesh city. For no more, Muyebo, do the uncircumcised and the unclean come unto you. Shake yourself from the dust, arise, and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from bonds, from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith, what? Okay. For thus saith Yahuwah, you have been sold for naught, and you are redeemed not with silver. For thus says the Adon, the master Yahuwah, at first my people went down into Mishraim to sojourn there, and to Ashur oppressed. And Ashur oppressed them without cause. And now what have I here, declares Yahuwah, that my people are taken away for naught. Those who rule over them make them well, declares Yahuwah, and my name is despised all day continually. Therefore my people shall know my name in that day, for I am the one who is speaking. See, it is I. How pleasant upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings good news, who proclaims deliverance, who says to Zion, your Elohim reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they shall lift up their voices. Together they shall shout for joy, because eye to eye they see the return of Yahuwah to Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together your waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahuwah shall comfort his people. He shall redeem Jerusalem. Yahuwah shall lay bare his Kodesh arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the deliverance of our Elohim. Turn aside, come out from there. Touch not the unclean. Come out of her midst, be clean, you who bear the vessels of Yahuwah. For you shall not come out in haste, nor go in flight. For Yahuwah is going before you, and the Elohim of Yasharel is your rear guard. See, my servants shall work wisely. He shall be exalted and lifted up very high, and as many are astonished at you, so the disfigurement beyond any man's and his form beyond the son of man. He shall likewise startle many nations. Sovereigns shut their mouth at him. For what had not been recounted to them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall understand. And that's the proclaiming of the Mashiach.
Yes. But so it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual, because he was calling his people out, telling them, naturally, you got to come up out of there. Don't touch the unclean thing. In other words, don't do the paganistic practices. You know, he's told us so many times, look, you know, y'all forgot my name for Baal? You know, you know, my name is despised. But that's all right. My people shall know my name. Now, how is it that anyone can read a verse like that and still call the Creator God? As if his name doesn't matter. And we see clearly it matters to him. How do we get through the people that refuse? There's no way. You know, just like the story of the rich man and Lazarus, after all was said and done, the rich man was burning in hell and was asking Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers. He told him, said, you know, if I send Lazarus, they won't believe him. If they don't believe the law and the prophets, they won't even believe someone that come from the dead. That's a bad state. And there are many in that state. A lot of them are there because they have never heard to the contrary, except those that are claiming they don't believe in the invisible man in the sky at all. As if the Creator is a man. As if they cannot look around them and see the heavens and the trees and everything and life as it is and the animals and not know that there had to be some intelligent source that put all of this together. They would rather believe a big bang happened in space and all of a sudden everything came to be. So if that's the only contrary thing that they hear, then yeah, I would grab hold to Jesus too, as I did. And I did. because I didn't want to be like that, because I could see that there was more to it than my vain philosophy. What is that quote from Hamlet? There are more things at work in heaven and earth, Horatio, than is thought of in your philosophy. Something like that. Believe me, there's more at work than we can ever imagine. My brothers and sisters, take the time to check. Take the time to check these 20, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. They're nothing compared to eternity. My brothers and sisters, check for yourself. Prove all things. Try the spirit. See if it is pure, if it cares about more than just you. That's what you need to do. See if it cares about your way of thinking, cares more about than just you. If your philosophy, if your doctrine, if your belief only has you doing good and is looking out for only you, then it's wrong. That about sums it up, Asai?
That's about it.
We know Sister Asai has her hands full this afternoon, and we understand. Let's do this, my brothers and sisters.
Thank you. is only your heart. And my truth I will make known. Will you live for me as I died for you? You must cut this seed I've sown to win. Seekers of the truth, take heed to what you hear and ask him to reveal if it's his word. And trust in him alone, and not what one man says. Hold fast, for he will soon return again, once again. And repentant hearts that see my face, I will grant you my shalom. For the humble ones I will embrace, who have trusted me alone, me
to do all these statutes, to fear Yah, our Elohim, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before Yah, our Elohim, as he has commanded us. Praise you, Father Yah.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Come listen to Ancient of Days, where we talk about the lies, misrepresentations, and holes in the history we learned in school. Mondays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Freedomizer. Thank you.
Hi, this is the Wolfman.
And this is AD Venture.
Join us as we host the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 p.m. Pacific.
You'll learn about primitive skills, survival techniques, equipment and gear.
We'll also discuss useful tips and tricks, product reviews, and even have a few special guest appearances.
Join me, the Wolfman,
and me, A.D. Venture,
for the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific.
There is a new program on the Freedomizer Network, Bloody Beak Radio, punching the New World Order in the nose. Bloody Beak Radio is here to inform you on a wide variety of topics revolving around current and recent events. The main thrust of the show is not just to inform you of the problems we face, but rather, how do we analyze them in a way that we can use to create counter-propaganda and use that knowledge in our everyday lives? In a sense, how do we market the truth? Bloody Beak Radio will give you the tools to win the information war so we can destroy the barriers that divide the people and have a peaceful revolution. Join your host, Kyle Baker, on Sunday evenings to have an honest discussion about how to win the numbers game and ensure that we decide the tipping point, not them.
This is Cindy Lake. Please listen to me on Freedom Talk with Cindy Lake at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on FreedomizerRadio.com. All the issues that are important to you, like Common Core, Agenda 21, Fully Informed Jury Association, 10th Amendment, 2nd Amendment, 4th Amendment, 3rd Amendment, the Constitution. See you at FreedomizerRadio.com, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See you there.
C is for cookie. And that's good enough for me. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Saturdays. I love you, Miss Cookie. Join Cookie and
good
me
job.
On See the Power in You.
Hi, I'm Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community. You can find me here on Freedomizer Radio the last Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be impressing upon listeners their power to self-heal through natural medicine. In addition, I will be interviewing a health expert each Monday on the live stream video show Health In, which can be found on NissanCommunications.com each Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Go to HomeopathyWorldCommunity.com to see the fabulous lineup for 2014. Join thousands of others on Facebook, Homeopathy World Community, where you can get news and views on good health practices.
Are you dedicated to ending the New World Order? Well, it's time to make way for spontaneous order. Hi, I'm Eric Bell, host of Freedomizer Radio's new hit show, For Whom the Bell Tolls, where you will hear current events from a volunteer's perspective, philosophical libertarianism, and a roadmap to a free and stateless society. Tune in every Tuesday at 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific and 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern.
Freedomizers, welcome to the No Bull Zone. If you have seen through the veil of lies coming from lamestream media, join Ferdinand for a perspective from the trenches. Want to chime in? Call now, 347-324-3704. That's the No Bull Zone with Ferdinand every Monday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Shalom. And praises to the Father. More and more, we see the lies and the deceptions of the world, where it should be obvious we are in a spiritual battle. So I'd like to invite you to tune into the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, where we will reason together according to the Holy Scriptures. Also, blessing you with an occasional guest, our spiritual common sense commentary, and spiritual uplifting songs that give praises to our Father. You can call in and speak to our host, or just listen to the show at 347-324-3704 every Tuesday and Saturday, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Or you can tune in to our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. Blessings.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
And now, back to the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program.
To you,
She just done walked on away. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Look, if you guys want to give us a call here in the studio, our number is 347-324-3704. We'd be glad to hear from you this afternoon. Our number, once again, is 347-324-3704. 3704, just press 1 after you are connected, and they'll let me know that you want to chat. Once again, that number is 347-324-3704. All right. Let's see. Let's check out what our dear brother... Prophet E-Man. Let's see what he's doing on his page today. lot of stuff. I encourage each and every one of you guys to put E-M-A-N space P-R-O-P-H-E-T in the Facebook address bar and check out this brother's. I mean, it's just full of all types of knowledge and truth that can direct you. Believe me when I tell you, it is amazing. Let's see. What has he got going today? All right. And how long is that, Iman? Okay. Oh, you got a series up here. The Way of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. you guys need to check that out, The Way of Yahweh. It's a series of five parts, okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. He's got a lot of things up here. Is Saturday the seventh day according to scripture? Okay. Let's see. Here's an article. Oprah learns Sabbath is on Saturday from an Adventist movie maker. All she had to do was All she had to do was pick up her scripture. Things like this tell you that people aren't even bothering to check. They just go along now. She's going along with this because of a Seventh-day Adventist movie maker. You know, and it's right there in the scripture. See, this is people that don't care. They want everybody else to do the work and what have you. And they have nothing invested in them. Just like, and I really hate to say it, you know, but Christianity is set up where everything is done for the person and they have to do nothing but believe. That is not the Father. That is not what the scripture teaches at all. And many follow it. I don't get it. You know, because even when I was in Christianity, my brothers and sisters, I didn't go for that because that just didn't make sense to me. It just didn't. All of that about the Old Testament didn't apply. You know, every Sunday, you know, somebody would mention it and that it was nailed to the cross and all of that. But then that would get thrown out the window when they would come up with, and here we go. And see, this is why I couldn't, you know, this is why it just wasn't right for me. It makes no difference. And he took the law because the law was a curse to us. And this, and he nailed it to the cross. And this. But then every time they want to pass that plate around, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from my ordinances. Which says a lot right there, my brothers and sisters. You have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Now here comes the fear tactics. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meeting in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that you shall not have room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit, nor they don't go that far. They don't go that far because they don't want you to think about that this is actually talking to the priest about the fruits and everything that was being tithed from the land of Yashareel, that they were supposed to be, you know, the people were tithing, but they were sacrificing all kinds of mess. They would accept, you know, blemished offerings and what have you. And then when it come time to give to the widows or the wayward traveler or the fatherless, they would give them, you know, what was bad and stuff that they didn't want and whatnot. You know, and this is what, then this is who the father was talking to. But every Sunday, they whipped this out. But now, if all of this was nailed to the cross, why does this apply? And they could never tell you. They never tell you. But they pull it out every time they want that money. But they'll tell you, oh, no, we're a New Testament church. We're under the New Testament. We're the New Testament church. And we under grace and what have you. Okay, well, what about grace for my tithes? I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, come up out of those people's churches. There was never meant to be a church. The Messiah took them away. Believe me. That's not how it went. You need to read the scriptures. You know, people didn't run to the church every week and what have you. They only had one synagogue that Solomon had built, one house of the Father. People stayed all over the place. Everybody was going to run to Jerusalem every week. Come on, that's not how it went. Now, they would make that journey once a year. Or was it every other year? I'll have to check into that. But it wasn't every week. I can tell you that for sure. And they had, you know, men that would come around and they would, you know, tell people the word and what have you, you know. And the men would go up to the temple and they would learn and come back and teach their families. And when that wasn't working, the Father sent the Messiah. And the Messiah set things in order, and he sent out the emissaries two by two. And, you know, they took his word, and they established assemblies. That's all it was, where the people assembled together. They couldn't go. They were killing them. They were killing them. They didn't have no place that they all could gather and worship and what have you. They didn't have that. The only reason why we have these places now is because they know they've corrupted the scriptures, and they don't care that you go every Sunday on the day that they say, because they know they've corrupted it all, and they know this. But there's no way in the world, you know, they are going along with the truth. Satan is the god of this world. And he wouldn't have it going on. He just wouldn't. So people, you need to understand and stop falling for people telling you in one breath one thing, the law and the prophets, all the old covenant no longer applies. The Old Testament isn't viable today and what have you. But then when they get ready for your money, they go back into Malachi 3, will a man rob God and what have you. And you go along with it. You're proving to them just how gullible and narrow-minded you are. You're proving to them, you know, that, and that is Satan. That is Satan. That is a demonic spirit in each and every one of those places. And it have us. It had me. I was there. I know it had you. I know it do, because it had me. And believe me, and I can tell you, I tithe it. It made no difference where I got the money from or what. 10% off the top. I had no trouble. No trouble. None whatsoever. What? I got $3,000? Oh, well, $300 going to the church. I had no problem. None. And it's all a sham. This is why you don't see a lot of men in these so-called churches. Because the Father, the scriptures tell us, no man can come unto me except the Father who sent me draws him. So if they're not there, that's because the Father is not drawing them there. Simple as that. It is as simple as that. We all want to cling to, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. But we've missed, but no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draws him. We missed that one. It's the Father that adds. And it wasn't to a church. It was those that should be saved. Those that should be born again. But Satan and his followers have corrupted the scriptures, twisted all of the words around, everybody's name and everything, so you do not have a clear understanding. And I suggest, I seen a New King James Version Bible had all the Yahuwah and everything up in it. So this means these people knew that they had done lied and twisted the word time. And now to make them some money off of all the people that are now waking up and buying these Bibles, they put it all back. So it's just about a dollar to them. But what you should see is how low down and evil they are. Because these are the same people that's been publishing the King James Version for the last 500 years. And now all of a sudden they've restored his name. You know, and don't get fooled by that divine restored name version they got where they added Jehovah. And the original 1611 edition didn't even have the letter J for King James name. It was not a J invented at that time. That's right. All you got to do a Google search, my brothers and sisters, and you will see for yourself, because I have copies of it. Go by my page. Go by the ministry's website. You will see that I have copies there, and he was King IAMES. There was no letter J when the first editions were printed. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, it's all meant to send you to hell. And if you don't check for yourself after me telling you, then you've made your choice. Because you don't think that Satan would do all of that against you. So you've decided your fate. And there's nothing no one can do about it. Please, my brothers and sisters, think for yourself.
It's the Sabbath. Time to get us some truth, you know what I mean? I know the church say they do Sunday, but we the truth, and we keep the Sabbath, you know what I mean? Check it.
It's the Sabbath, and all I wanna do is get in the Word tonight.
That's right.
After I get through praising, and I know everything's gonna be alright.
Heaven, yeah. You know what I mean?
Let's praise God and just enjoy his rest.
need, but don't leave it a mess.
Don't leave it dirty, alright?
Cut on some praise music and let's give y'all some praise.
Yeah.
Then open up the bottle and read scriptures all day.
Right.
I just wanna relax all day.
I just wanna relax.
Read the Bible until the next day.
Yeah.
When the sun goes down,
goes down.
I just wanna stay so close to my God until the next day.
Next day.
When the sun goes down. Hey, 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 it's the Sabbath.
If there's one thing I've learned as an Israelite, yeah, ooh, we've got to keep the commandment. I was tired of being fed up, so I got the Bible and opened it up, yeah. And I saw that I was living wrong, wild and out, yes I was. Now I do my best to follow these laws, oh yeah. And I decided I'ma stop playing games, I don't wanna be the same like I used to be, oh no.
I'ma change my life, I'ma do things right.
Do my
best. I'ma do my best to keep the commandments.
Oh yeah. See, I played both sides too much, and the truth out the truth back and forth too much.
No, no.
This time I'm gonna be faithful. That's for sure.
Set apart is your name. up my name in the middle of the nations? Who will take the shield of faith and the sword of my tongue and declare my name to a dying world? He who has declared me thus far will walk in even greater power. For the sands of time are running out, but my name will be declared in this final hour. I am Yahuwah, I am that I am, and my trumpet will soon call out. I formed the world with a whisper, oh, but I'm getting ready.
Hallelujah. All right, my brothers and sisters, we're getting ready to get out of here. We thank you all so much for joining us today, all of you who are listening live and those of you in the chat room and those of you who are listening to the archives. We pray a blessing over each and every one of you guys. We are so thankful for you all and that you take the time out with us as we try to enlighten, instruct, as well as uplift the name of our Creator and His messenger, Yahusha HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Thank you guys again. If it's the Father's will, we'll be back tomorrow at around 11 a.m. Central Time, 9 a.m. Pacific and noon Eastern, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. If you're up early, catch us on the True Frequency Radio Network at 8 a.m. Central, 6 a.m. Pacific, and 9 a.m. Eastern on TrueFrequencyRadio.com. Stay prayerful, stay focused, stay in the will and the word of the Father. Blessings and peace to your homes. Shabbat Shalom.
thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show, beginning at 9 in the morning Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
Ay, 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 le chupacabra, ¿por qué?
Are you tired of losing your herd of goats to the chupacabra? Are you worried about how you're going to eat because your goats were viciously ravaged? Call SNL Chupacabra Insurance today. SNL provides fast, speedy claims in the event of your goat farm being destroyed. Low rates, fast service, and professional attitude is what makes SNL your choice for Chupacabra Insurance. Call 855-CHUPA-NO today. 855-CHUPA-NO for a free rate quote. SNL Chupacabra Insurance, just in case the chupacabra comes.
Ay, 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 le chupacabra!
Radio listeners, you all know that the reason for global cooling is global warming. Well, we here at Lake Havasu Snow Removal want to remind everyone that we can plow your driveway or street 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We are available in the Lake Havasu, Phoenix, and soon-to-be Tucson areas in the cold Arizona desert. So, if your driveway is back...
Welcome to the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show, airing live on Saturday night. Today is May 17th, 2014, and we have a great lineup for you today. We are going to have our guests, Dave and Deb from the Planet D. We are very excited to have them on. We have a special guest host, and as always, I am your host... the Wolfman, and I am joined by the ever awesome
Rhonda Urthlach.
And introducing our guest host today, one of the Barefoot Bushcraft instructors, Den. Welcome to the show for your first episode ever.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm a little bit nervous about all this. I'll see if I hope I can do as good a job for the show as you guys do.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you. It's going to be great. So we'll start off our show here talking about some really great things that have happened today for Barefoot Bushcraft. So today we had an archery lesson in Niagara Falls, Ontario, and Den was one of our instructors for that, and it was spectacular. We've been kind of ramping up business a little bit. We've been doing some advertising here and there, and we normally have anywhere between, what would you say, Dan, maybe between 10 and 20 people maximum?
Yeah, I think our biggest up until this time was maybe 20, 25. But our usual is, like you say, somewhere in between there.
Yeah, and today, like, 60 people showed up. We were totally, although we can accommodate that many, we certainly were not, like, mentally prepared for that. It was fantastic. I mean, we basically worked from, like, 10 in the morning until, like, 1 in the afternoon with just a couple minutes break. It was
It was amazing to see how many people came through. It's good to see that many people wanting to be outside. Here in Canada, we have our today. This weekend is our Victoria weekend, we call it. So it's a 3-day long weekend in Canada, and we had so many people out. It was fantastic. So Dan, tell us about your feelings about some of the vibes you got from that today.
Well, it was really positive, and as many people as there. People actually seemed to get to know each other while they were waiting in line. So it was a very friendly feel all around. And I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised at just how quickly we went through the lineup so that everybody got a chance to do probably, I'd say, probably 20, 30 shots by the end of the day. And that was great. I mean, that's what you need to start developing the skills. So not only was it a nice, friendly thing and nice to have people out, people were actually developing a new skill. So, and that was great.
Yes, for sure. It definitely was fantastic. So, Rhonda, as well, I know you had you have courses that you run from some of the school boards and that. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about that and how that program went this week? I heard it was awesome.
Oh yeah, I think we did every primary grade from kindergarten to grade 5 in the last 3 weeks for one school, and it has been amazing. Can really tell that, you know, the need for outdoor nature adventures and everything is really needed with these children, but they really enjoyed it. We talked about habitats, and we explored the forest and looked for some critters. We actually had one group of kindergartens. I think we had 90 kindergartens come out for one day, and we found amazing things like salamanders, and we saw toads, frogs, and turtles, and it was really, really amazing. And so we just got to explore a lot of different aspects of science and nature with this whole school, and it was just nice to be able to walk through the hallways and just have these kids just run up and go, "Oh, I remember you, and you're still here, and what are you doing here?" And they just had, you know, tons of questions, and they would tell you a story of something that they found out in the schoolyard or something like that. So it was just really nice to have that kind of impact with the youth in the primary grade. So it was awesome.
And, you know, we see that more and more as we get out there that, you know, in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, so many people sort of pulled away from nature, you know, with the rise of video game and computers and mobile technology. But now we're seeing a resurgence in that, and it's fantastic. You know, we had so much fun today. Again, you know, we were feeling just so excited to see so many people out. You know, those young boys out there, like, chasing chickens and stuff. And it's great to hear those stories, like you say. And the young people, it seems to really resonate with them. And they, like you say, Rhonda, they seem to resonate with that. And these memories seem to last forever. And it's just such a beautiful thing.
One of the things I really loved today was what was exactly that, the younger kids coming out. And having such a blast shooting like a real slingshot rather than pressing button B5551, actually firing something, and the look on their face when they got the target, or in one particular case when the younger sister beat the older brother, the glow of joy was just amazing. It was great to see the kids coming out and having such a good time.
I remember for that. Sure. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Rhonda.
I remember shooting that slingshot at one of your events as well. And I have to say it's one of my favorite weapons of choice when you're doing your archery and slingshots. I really enjoyed slingshots more than I thought I would. And that says a lot because I like archery a lot too.
Well, you know, we've been planning forever to do a workshop on making your own slingshot. So when we do that, we'll have to have you down.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I keep on meaning to come down and bring my kids, too, because we got our own kind of longbows that we have been practicing with ourselves. And
I know that they keep on asking, you know, when we're going to go out and do some target practice and stuff. So we're definitely going to have to make it down to one of your events because they are a lot of fun. And fantastic. So you always put on a really good event there, Den.
Thank you. Wolf has a little bit to do with it, too.
But you're going on every month now, are you not?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch all that.
Are you and Wolf are putting on an archery event every month now, is that correct?
We're trying to do it every second week these days, trying to put it all together and get some consistency because there's no one who's around, we found, that was really doing consistent events.
Oh, well, that's every other week. That's amazing.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'll be able to make it then.
Oh, that'd be great. Love to have you down.
So
all
what
right.
Was your... What was
so on that note, we got to run into our next section.
In good news.
Sorry to interrupt there, but we got to move along to our news, and definitely we would love to see you down at some of our events, Rhonda, because it was, I know you said you loved it. So in the news section today, we are going to be talking about this article that was on the Huffington Post Weird News section. And the title of the article is Pet Bobcat Gets to Stay in New Jersey. So I'll read some of the article here, and then I'd love to hear both of your opinions on it. It says, Stafford, New Jersey. Rocky's mother was 98% bobcat, but because a DNA test couldn't determine if the 38-pound feline's father had a lineage, a judge ruled that the cat can be returned to a New Jersey woman. A municipal court judge, Damon Murray, ruled that Ginny Fine can regain custody of Rocky, the bobcat, after a DNA test found that the cat's mother was 98% bobcat, but was indeterminate of the father's lineage. So the DNA test says that this was inherited solely from its mother. The bottom line is Rocky gets to go home. Fine, who has maintained that Rocky was a hybrid bobcat and a Maine Coon, said that she was shocked by the ruling. Even I didn't know what to say. I was not expecting that, she said outside of court. She would have needed a special permit from the State Department and the Environmental Protection Agency to get Rocky back if it was determined that she was pure bobcat. These permits are issued only for zoos, animal exhibitors, and scientific purposes for agencies that have animals that are acting in this way. So Fine pleaded guilty to letting the animal loose and was fined $1,000 after Rocky ran away from home in March. The cat was missing for 12 days, leading police to hunt through the woods, and it was lured back on April 7th at the Popcorn Park Zoo. Murray ordered that the cat be kept in an enclosure and periodically inspected by the state. So we have a lady here who has a bobcat for a pet, and it has gotten loose. So I will ask Rhonda what your opinion of this is, and we can discuss the article a little.
Yeah, sure. When I was reading this, I was just shaking my head because, for one, bobcats are usually wild animals, and people view them that way, whether or not they are brought up domestically or not. They're still a wild animal. So I personally don't think that she should have it in the first place, whether or not it's half bobcat or not. It looks like a bobcat, walks like a bobcat. It's probably a bobcat. And I don't know. I don't think that she should have been, it should be in a zoo or something that, especially if it keeps on getting out all the time. I'm just envisioning the poor bobcat, you know, someone that doesn't know that it's a domesticated cat and shoots the poor thing, you know. So, that article, I don't agree with people keeping wild animals in the first place, especially large cats. And I'm not sure where it said in the article where she lived. I can't remember if it was in a city or if it was out in the country, but still, I think that wild animals should be either kept out wild or they should be kept in some type of sanctuary where they're looked after properly, not as pets. What are your thoughts on that, Jen?
Well, to a large degree, I kind of echo what you've just said. I mean, wild animals belong in the wild, and people who want to save these poor wild animals from their hard life in the wild are stealing them from their homes. This one seems to be, legally anyways, a hybrid, and I'm not a big fan of that either. I mean, the wild animals may have a lot of things that you want to breed into your domestic line, but it's you're still introducing a wild animal into a domestic situation. Dogs, cats, ferrets, these things have all been domesticated for literally thousands of years before they've become part of our family. And even at that, you can still have a dog or a cat attack and do some real damage. And you've got groups like PETA and stuff who would argue that even that is you're enslaving the animals rather than making them pets, you know? And for me, I think the wild belongs in the wild, and your pet shouldn't be crossbreeding and bring the wild into a situation where there's no way they can possibly be happy because they have instincts on both sides that'll mess them up in either environment. How about you, Wolf?
You know, I couldn't agree with you both more, 100%. There's really no need to keep a wild animal as a pet in that respect. You know, we have, and again, you might hope that you're going to get the positive qualities of this one and the negative qualities of that one and breed them together, but we have no control over that. So we don't know if you're going to get the two negative qualities. You know, we see that a lot here in the Niagara region where we have hybrid coyotes that breed with dogs and dogs that breed with coyotes. So what you're getting is you're getting a wild animal that is now not afraid of humans and that has a different form of domestic intelligence than the wild animal has. So not only do they say, oh, well, they will pose themselves as friendly, but they can turn on you at any time. And, you know, there's some people are animal lovers, and that's a wonderful thing. But then they're like, oh, look, this strange-looking dog is coming up to pet me. And they pet the dog, which is actually a coyote, and it bites them. You know, and now that causes a whole other issue. You know, there's been cases here in Niagara of, you know, coyotes attacking dogs and chasing women with babies and all sorts of bizarre things. And this is exactly what could happen with this bobcat, right? I mean, that bobcat got loose. It's not in its native environment. It could have caused all kinds of untold damage to people. You know, it could have harmed somebody. It could have eaten small dogs or whatever. So it's very, very, very frustrating to see when someone does this, especially if you don't have a zoological background. If you were, you know, one of those people that, this is what you do for a living, then I totally respect that you want to do this and keep the animal in a natural environment, but not on a leash or in your house or whatever. Plus, I don't know about the two of you, but I hear so many cases of people taking things like raccoons and they keep them as pets. And eventually they get old and they go a little crazy and they start wrecking the place.
I actually had a friend who did that back in high school. Had a raccoon.
Raccoon.
And eventually the raccoon just wandered away from the house, but he was almost impossible to deal with up to a point, you know. And apparently his dog had killed the mother and he took in the baby raccoon, right? And it's pretty friendly until he hit puberty, and kind of like humans, they get a little cranky at when that happens. And this raccoon just became unmanageable, and luckily, he was fine with releasing it back to the wild, but someone who wants to keep this thing as a pet is going to end up getting hurt physically.
And wasn't there some big stars in the States, and I don't remember who they were, they got killed by their own tigers? I can't remember who that was. It was recently. It was like a big Las Vegas Broadway show.
Oh, are you talking about the Lion Tamers, Siegfried and Roy?
That one sounds about right. Yeah.
One of the guys got attacked by one of the tigers that they lived with, basically.
Yeah.
I think that was it, yeah. I just think that some people think it's kind of cool to have one of these, you know, wild animals, and they just don't really think about the implications of actually having a wild animal. It is a wild animal. Whether you bring it up domestically or not, it still has wild DNA in it, and I don't think people realize just how dangerous this could be, not just for the owners, but for other people around them and for the animal themselves, too. Like, it can put everyone's lives in danger, and unfortunately, it could end up with just having to destroy the animal in the end, just because, you know, it still is a wild animal and it could hurt somebody, or maybe the owners don't want it anymore because it's bigger than what they thought.
And by taking it in, you've ruined its ability to adapt to the wild. I mean, if you want the cool factor, I want a grizzly that I can ride to the grocery store to get groceries. You know, but that's just not terribly practical.
And on that note, we are going to move into our next section.
Tips and tricks.
And on Tips and Tricks today, we are going to talk about something truly spectacular. Now, again, Dan and I were out and about. We were instructing archery today, you know, for barefoot bushcraft. Had a great turnout, but one of the things that we love to do is look at alternative ways to do things. So one of the things Dan had done is taken a PVC, that's polyvinyl chloride, a plumbing pipe, and he turned it into an archery bow. Now, we couldn't use that with our students today because we were, you know, we were at a public archery and it was governed by all kinds of insurance and all that stuff. But these bows are amazing, and I had a chance to try it myself, and it worked just as well as a commercially produced bow. So, Dan, could you tell us a little bit about how that sort of worked and your methodology and the end result?
Well, I mean, it worked like any other bow. I mean, you pull on it and fire off an arrow. But I've been working on a YouTube series about kind of rediscovering how weapons are made, and I've made a point to not do too much research on it and just kind of figure it out as I went. And I always thought PVC had the right springiness to it, so I figured I'd give that a shot. So basically, I started off the simplest way possible, and I just notched the end, ends of a PVC pipe, and put some paracord to use as the bowstring, and that seemed to work okay. But freehanding it and doing it as in primitive a way as possible, I found it next to impossible to get the notches lined up perfectly because, well, it's two circles, and it's hard to get them exactly in the right location. In order to guide my strings a little better, it was easier to use the lettering as a guide that's on the side of a PVC pipe, and I just drilled into that and ran the string up through that first and wrapped it around the outsides of the notch still. And that gave me a lot more stability and got it exactly centered. And it's worked surprisingly well. I don't know what else there really is to tell about that. It's something visual. I'd have to sit down and show people. But anybody who wants to, I'm sure that if they give it a try, put their hand to it, they can probably figure out a way to do it.
So, Jen, you took a PV. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Yeah, I was just trying to picture it as well. Maybe you can send us a picture of your bow, and we can like put it up on our Facebook or on Twitter so that other people can see. But is it actually like the pipe? Like what size of pipe did you use? Like,
okay, PVC pipe. It's that white pipe that's used for plumbing for water.
Yep.
Okay.
Did you use like a
I used this 3/4 inch pipe. And basically, I went at the end and just kind of cut a slot in the halfway point in about an inch on either end to start with.
Okay. And okay. What kind of and it bent enough for you to get it bowed out so you can get a good pull on it?
Yeah. Well, you know, if I sit on something, it'll usually bend or break. So.
That's true.
Hey.
That makes sense. So yeah. So basically, you took the pipe, you made the bow. You bowed the pipe, which was a bow,
mm-hmm.
and then you strung it. And you said you used paracord because obviously it's tough.
Yeah.
Now you did something else to it as well. And now I'm going to go on to our Facebook group for those of you, if you go onto facebook.com/barefootbushcraft, and I have a photo of the PVC bow here, the white plastic PVC bow. And then I will also post it to our Twitter account, which is @BFBushcraft. And you can take a look at that. Pretty spectacular. So how did you make it? At one point, I pulled it back, and I would say that thing probably had about a 60 to 80 pound draw. How did you change it so that it was had that much of a draw to it that
we could use it? I forgot. Well, another experiment I had going in my mind down the road was making a fiberglass bow. And in order to do that, I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're kind of long, thick ribbons of fiberglass that go in at the end of frost fences in order to have a nice, even tension on them. You can pick them up for a couple bucks at any hardware store. And basically, I stuck them inside the already bent bow, and they just added a lot of extra support and made that an incredibly powerful bow. It kind of became a veritable powered bow. You could change the draw on it by adding or taking away a couple strips of this fiberglass.
That's pretty neat. 60-pound draw. Wow. That's,
yes. It's a surprisingly powerful bow it became. That's for sure. I mean, I'm a pretty big guy, and I had a hard time drawing it. I couldn't overdraw it if I wanted to. Because once you have three layers in there, that was a very difficult draw.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be able to
pull it back, eh? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it blew my mind.
That's pretty cool. I'm trying all these different things out of different products to see what you can make out of it. That's so cool that you made it out of a PVC pipe. That's really cool.
Well, I've always had. My father is an old farm boy, and we have a little bit of a redneck engineer in my genetics, I think. So,
we've been thinking as well that if we can perfect this and obviously make it safe, and kind of have our insurance review it, that we might actually offer a course on this, so people would come down and we'd buy all the pipes and material, and people would. Come out and actually be able to make one of these and take them home. Now, if we did something, Dan, if you would recommend something like this for an urban survival environment, so, there's a big catastrophe or apocalyptic type scenario, you're in the city, how easy would a product like this be able to make so you could defend yourself? And maybe, I don't know, at a hardware store or lying around on the street, could you get all the parts to put this together?
Oh, certainly. I mean, it's very – even if you had to go out and buy them, the price for the materials themselves is pretty low cost. And if you're in an urban situation, it would probably be easier to find a piece of PVC pipe than it would be to find an ideal-sized sapling to cut down. And if you happen to be in the wrong season, you couldn't even do that. If you're in the middle of winter, you're not going to be able to make a decent bow out of the wood that's readily available at that time. Whereas this, consistently available, like you say, in an urban situation, probably much simpler to put together something like this than it would be your standard type wooden bow.
Well, so what would you use? Now, you had mentioned earlier you'd use paracord. What else do you think you could use that would work? Because paracord's a pretty specific product that we could use as a string.
One of the – something that sounds a little odd – but really makes sense once you think about it, is actually dental floss. If you've got the right length and you just make repeated loops end to end, setting it up to the right length, and then just tie that off in this scenario, you would be able to make a really nice bowstring out of it, and it would actually have fibers like your regular bowstring, so you get an easier release.
So would you, like, cord it? Or would you just use one floss?
Pardon me?
Would you, like, make it into, like, a cordage so that you have more than just one fiber of dental
floss?
Oh,
yes, yes. I'm saying, like, loop it, you know, a couple of dozen times to get it up to a certain bulk. Now, if you were going to be using it repeatedly, I would probably even do some whipping across where you would be putting your arrow on your notch, just to keep it from wearing on your main strings.
Right.
Do you know what I mean by whipping it back, just circling it around and around type thing, and then tucking it in? So I don't know if everyone in our audience would know what whipping is. So
I don't think I know what whipping is.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, it's a method where you take your string and you wrap it around your cordage. Like you say, you've corded it off, say, maybe a dozen loops, end to end, the length you want, and then you take your string and go around that, bundling it all together, basically. And
it's just a
method of tying it off so that it stays put.
So basically, you're putting like a layer out on the outside of it.
Exactly, kind of a protective layer, just to save it from the wear and tear.
Mm. Okay. Oh, that's neat. I've never tried that before.
Well, you come on down and we'll give it a shot.
Okay,
we'll
deal.
See if we can make you one.
And on that note, we are going to head off into the commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to hear from our special guest, Canadian world-class travelers, Dave and Deb from theplanetd.com. And my name is the Wolfman, and I have Den and Rhonda, and we'll see you on the other side.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. A political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Hi, I have a question for you. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do you want a company that provides good quality ingredients and does not use artificial sweeteners? Look no further. Genesis Pure has a complete lineup of health and wellness, sports performance, and superfruit juices like Noni and Mangosteen that are pure, wild harvested with no binders and fillers. The philosophy is simple. Cleanse the body of toxins, balance the body's pH and hormones, and build the body nutritionally. Every race has a starting line, and yours is Cleanse, Balance, Build. Sign up for at least a 25% discount and include auto ship of at least one product to start building up 20% back in points for free products. It's a win-win. Help fund our operation while you fund your body nutritionally. Start your journey at genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth. Again, that is genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live shows. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hi, this is the Wolfman.
And this is AD Venture.
Join us as we host the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 p.m. Pacific.
You'll learn about primitive skills, survival techniques, equipment and gear.
We'll also discuss useful tips and tricks, product reviews, and even have a few special guest appearances.
Join me, the Wolfman.
And me, A.D. Venture,
for the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
I'm Angie Morelli, and I'm with GMO Free Vegas. So what are we going to do about this now? Well, to begin with, we advocate the labeling of genetically engineered food, or foods with GMOs. Regardless of how you feel about the GMO issue, we can agree that we should at least have a choice of being informed about what we put into our bodies. We won't have a choice until these foods are properly labeled. We must remember who we're fighting in this battle. We are fighting corporations selling us poison, backed by corporations making us poison, and these corporations will only respond to one kind of vote, the vote that we make with our dollars. Recently, Yoplait faced so much criticism over high fructose corn syrup that they removed it from all of their yogurts. Right before and after the March Against Monsanto in May, we saw major corporations like Whole Foods, Target, and Chipotle make major announcements about deciding to label and or phase out GMOs. This is happening because...
And welcome back to the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show on May the 17th, 2014. This is your host, the Wolfman, here with Rhonda and Den. So we're just having a little bit of some technical difficulties here with our guest. So we're going to talk about something really awesome here that Den had found. I'm kind of torn about this. So it's on a website called oddityMall.com, and it says here, camping mattress with blow or camping tent with blow-up mattress. The retail price on this is $160 American. And it says, this is the why don't I think of that tent. Basically, it's a tent, and the whole base of the tent, instead of being the bathtub that we are used to, is something called, it has a blow-up mattress in the bottom. And it's designed to be the quote-unquote world's most comfortable tent, designed to function as a tent with or without the blow-up mattress, as it attaches to the bottom by a zipper. So that's kind of cool. So, Dan, why don't you talk to us a little bit about this and give us your opinion on something, a product like this. I'm not 100% sure how I feel about this.
Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of torn about this thing, too. I mean, I look at this thing and I kind of go, really? Is that really camping anymore when you do that? I mean, when I was a young man, my idea of camping was a tarp and going out in the woods for 2 days, you know? Now I look at this and I go, oh, yeah, that looks comfy. My bones are not quite as young as they used to be. And that seems to be a really good idea. Now, for winter camping, I think it's actually a genius idea because you'd have that all that airspace underneath to keep you warm and add extra insulation from the ground. So, like, I mean, from a technical point of view, if it doesn't add too much weight and stuff, I would think that that's actually a really good idea. The only question I would have is how long does that sucker take to pump up? Does it become a law of diminishing returns? The comfort you get from it means that you've got to spend 3 hours pumping up the thing, you know? It's like that's great if it'll blow itself up in 10 minutes and doesn't add too much extra weight, especially if you're backpacking it in. For car camping, I think it's a genius idea. What do you think, Rhonda?
Yeah, first time I saw that, I always laugh when I see things like that. But, you know, just maybe because I'm just more of an extreme camper, but I'm no spring chicken anymore either. So, you know, comfort is starting to look more appealing. So when you get a tent that already has a mattress that you don't have to like pack yourself, maybe I'm still like my Therm-a-Rest-Dil and camp a little more rest. If it gets people outdoors and gets them camping, then I'm all for it. So, you know, to get someone out camping who's never been camping before, you always want to make sure that they're going to be comfortable, or else they're going to be like, I tried camping and I hated it. And so you don't want that to happen. So if someone's never been camping, this is their first time, they want a little more luxury, try a little more glamping than camping, then I'm all for it. I personally wouldn't buy it just because, like I said, I like a little more lightweight. But if you're camping with someone who's never camped before and you are car camping, if somebody brought it, I might give it a try, but I don't think I would buy it. But it's kind of neat. What about you, Wolf?
Well, you know, I think it's got a neat novelty idea to it, and I think the concept of having an air mattress in your tent is very appealing, especially, like you say, for young families or, you know, car camping, or even an environment like some people who go, all of us have been to gatherings in North America, like Headwaters Gathering, Harvest Gathering, you know, that are like primitive skills gathering, where you're living for 4 and 5 days. You know, it might not be a bad thing for an environment like that, but I kind of think, yeah, for backcountry camping, for carrying it in, it would be a pain, especially if you have dogs. Guaranteed, if you have dogs, you're probably going to find yourself with a broken seal on this, you know, and I camp with dogs all the time. But it's kind of a neat thing. So I'm going to put this on our Twitter. Again, our Twitter is @BS, so Bravo Foxtrot Bushcraft. And I will put down a tent with a mattress floor. But it doesn't say even on the website where that is, what the the weight of it is on the website.
Well,
I think
it's ascent.com. It's still in its Kickstarter phase, so I think it's one of those questions that until the prototype has been perfected, they're not going to know that. And another thing I was thinking, that no matter where you are, if it starts raining, the lowest part in the entire camp is in the middle of your tent.
Ooh.
You know, so and this would always act as a, you would have to be in a foot of water before it would actually bother you.
Or you float away.
Or you float away. That's just what I was going to say. It's now a raft. And you know what? That would make the coolest, just like, that'd be kind of a cool thing to do, is to buy this tent and sleep on the water.
Now, it went from something I don't think I'd ever gotten to. Now that you've said that, it's become something, oh, I got to get one.
And I think that's the only reason I would buy that. It's to, like, tie it off with a guy line and, like, go sleep out on the water.
But, you know, my brother and I have been talking about retracing a trip he did down the Yukon River, where they had a tent set up on top of a raft that they rafted down the Yukon with. And I'm thinking this would be the perfect one to do it. Not only do you have your tent there, you already have an emergency escape pod.
That's funny. Now, we had actually a guest who was from a television show called 7 Days in Hell, and they did that. They did a 7-day trip down the Yukon River on a raft that they had to build themselves. I believe it aired on Discovery Channel or History Channel or something like that. And, yeah, so that'd be kind of neat. So another kind of a neat product here. I will turn it over to Rhonda to introduce this one. Something else just kind of floating around the web for a little while that I know we're going to have a blast discussing.
Oh my goodness! When you showed me this, I was laughing. I was like, I need to get one. This is something that I would get over anything else of any of those Kickstart kind of products that they come out. But it is a sleeping bag that looks like a bear, and it really looks like a bear when you zip it all up. It has like a snout on it that your face would sit in front of inside the snout if it's mouth. And it has pictures on it where when it's all zipped up and there's like a woman's arm hanging out of the mouth of the bear. And I don't know, I would just for the novelty of it and just to freak some people out, I would totally buy it. And I think it would be a lot of fun just to have fun and maybe not backpack in the backcountry with it, but definitely car camping or camping with the scouts. That would be like the best sleeping bag to do with the scouts. So, but when you showed me that, I was like, I have to get one. I think my birthday is coming up. So if you guys want any ideas, you guys can get me the bear sleeping bag for my birthday.
Well, when I saw that, I thought about our little discussion getting a grizzly bear to ride to the grocery store. And I think that's where you would end up, in the belly of the grizzly bear. And when I saw that, I had to post that to you.
Yeah. Well, I think the grizzly bear would be riding you then,
Well, you know what? I think I would be riding the grizzly bear, but I would be on the inside.
Yeah.
But, and probably over a couple of hours. I wouldn't be enjoying it much.
But would you get something like this, Dan?
You know what? For the novelty factor, although I do wonder if my dogs might attack it.
Oh, true.
And if they would attack it, I think that makes it even funnier. Because I would chase them in it.
Well, it actually is compact and lightweight, so I'm wondering just how lightweight it is. But it is really cute. It does look. We'll get Wolf to post it on at BF Bushcraft on Twitter, and to post it on our Facebook page too, so that everyone can see what we're talking about. But Yeah, it really does look like a little bear, and we can have a lot of fun making it look like we've been eaten by the bear.
Well,
yeah.
I guess my thing about this is, now, what would happen if you went out into the woods, say, during mating season, and you're sleeping in a tent, sleeping in a bivy bag that looks like a bear?
That could be a
pain
in the
butt.
There'd
be a possibility of attracting unwanted attention.
Well, you'd be in your tent, I would hope.
You'd hope to be anyway.
I'm thinking
all about that.
We've all seen the awkward memes. That would be an awkward moment.
Yeah, that certainly would be. Or, you know, what was that?
I was talking about going on a solo trip, and you said that you wanted to come with me, Wolf. So I'll invite you if you bring the sleeping bag and we can test it out.
I think I would want to be in one. I'd want to be one of those hanging beds that's well up the tree. If that were the case,
you can come too, then.
All right. Well, I'm just going to see. We may have our guest on the line, ladies and gentlemen. If you excuse me, I'll be back in just a moment. See if they're available.
So what do you think, Rhonda? Would that save us if we were high enough up in the tree, you think?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
Although
it's
Algonquin, because the bears actually climb the trees. The black bears climb trees.
Yeah, well, that's true. It might help with grizzlies, but not so much with the black bears.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But if you're dressed up like a bear, they might leave you alone.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. That
unfortunately, yeah, I guess they're still experiencing some technical difficulties trying to get passed through to the station here. So I'm not 100% sure here. I guess we're going to have to reschedule them for another day. But that's okay.
That's all right.
That's totally okay. So, but yeah, that's quite the sleeping bag. And it looks, and I put it on the Twitter account, right, at BF Bushcraft, and it looks really real. Like, it's got, like, teeth and stuff. It's got a nose, and
I'm thinking April Fools. That you could mess with people with that thing pretty easily.
Yeah,
well,
you know, and it's funny. What was that, Rhonda?
I mean, that thing's realistic
looking
enough that it could be worn as a bear costume.
It could be, and they're like the last picture on the series of pictures, just like the girl's hand sticking out of the bear's mouth. Now, you know, the other thing, too, you'd have to worry about, and you know, maybe because, you know, we're professional instructors, and what if it's hunting season, and you're outside sleeping in a bear costume?
Well, it's rabbit season.
It's rabbit season. Yeah. Now, you know, it's like those sleeping bags that people make fun of, but they're actually designed for the military. It's like a sleeping bag with legs, right?
Yeah. Those things are pretty funny, too. There's actually – I was looking at one of them earlier today.
I don't know if you've ever seen these, Rhonda. They're like a tactical sleeping bag, and they're designed basically if you're asleep in the sleeping bag and you wake up and, you know, you're being chased or attacked or whatever, you can actually have some mobility rather than just limping around like a glowworm.
Is that actually really for the military, though?
Yes, yeah, you can see them. And there we go. It's from oddityMall.com, and it says it's a sleeping bag with leg pants. What happens when you're camping and you want to get up and walk around, but it's too cold? You stand up in your sleeping bag and start hopping around. Well, you may look like an idiot, but not anymore. The sleeping bag with legs allows you to wear a sleeping bag and walk around normally and look cool doing it. The sleeping bag with legs is perfect
cool
for walking, running, crossing your legs, all while you're still asleep. The bag is made of lightweight material, comes in handy for a carrying case, and comes in a plethora of colors. Well, they actually use the word plethora in the article.
not a word that gets used that often.
It's
All right. So I'm also going to post that link on our Twitter at BF Bushcraft. So a sleeping bag you can walk around in.
I mean, isn't it basically a snowsuit at that? Like, what point does it go from sleeping bag to snowsuit? You know?
I think it's because it has no arms.
I'm sorry.
Maybe the cutoff is arms.
No, you know what? I'm betting there is. If we took 15 minutes, I bet you we could find one.
Yeah, I don't think we have that much time left in the show because we're going to be going off air shortly. But yeah, that's you know, there's so many amazing products out here, and it's really kind of challenging as a new person in the outdoors. You know, you're all excited to go out and spend time in nature. You want all of the coolest and the best, and the concept is called Tactic Cool. So you want the Tactic Cool products with all the mollis strapping and everything else to decide what's what. And it's a really fine line between crazy gimmick and useful gear. You know, I think, Dan, we have watched zombie movies together, and one of the things you had said is, if I really went out dressed like a soldier, they have so many things to grab onto. You know?
Yes.
All the molly strapping is pretty great. Is a pretty great grab handle.
You're better. My contention has always been you're better off in a diving suit than the typical military outfit, because if you grease up a diving suit, nobody's grabbing you. And if the only people you have to worry about are zombies, you're not really at much of a disadvantage.
Be hard to run in a wetsuit, though.
There is that.
Yeah.
But in a grappling situation,
my
contention remains.
Yes, and that's very, very true, I guess. Yeah, because, you know, even like a load-bearing vest or an LBV, as they're called, the same thing, lots of grab points on there, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times as well, you know, we see these really nice, like myself, actually a professional working in the outdoor field, the only thing I've ever found as a really good use for molly strapping is they hold pens. And a pen will really fit in those molly squares so nicely. You know, sometimes even when I was, doing something where I had a patrol car and I was going from camp to camp or whatever, and I would have my bag on the seat, they hold pens great. But a lot of times, not always the best. And as well, I'm sure, Rhonda, you have seen them, and I know, Dan, you have. He's like a knife sheath with like 3,000 attachments on the outside of a knife sheath.
So your one leg is 20 pounds heavier than your other leg.
Well, there's that.
Pretty
but what about when you're – yeah, like I like carrying a small pouch on the outside of my knife because I attach my knife to my leg in case I lose my pack. But if you have too much junk hanging out there, you know, you're liable to catch it on something, and then you could actually cause an injury doing that.
Well, you know, we've had this discussion before. Is it gets to the point where you just become equipment – junkies, let's say. We may have used different words, but that's what it comes down to. When you just have so much cool equipment that you'll never ever get to. When the most important pieces of equipment for camping, survival, any of those things is the piece of equipment that you carry between your ears. And
really, you want to keep it simple too.
Yes, there is the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to camping, the more simple it is to work with, the better it is for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of really gimmicky and products out there that we could spend a whole show just trying to find the craziest gimmicky products for camping or survival and stuff like that. But for me, I just like to keep it simple. A knife is good, and with a survival kit, we talked about that last week, about just, making sure that you have a couple of things that are on your person instead of in your backpack for those situations where you might lose your backpack. But for all these multi-purpose apparatuses that they come out with, they're kind of neat, but I'm more of a simple person. Just keep it simple. A knife is good enough for me, and with a couple other things that I could put on my person, and I'm happy. I don't need any gimmicky, except for that bear sleeping bag. I do want that.
And what about the buckle?
Oh yeah,
the,
no,
the survival
buckle. You can
buckle.
Have the buckle.
You know, I used to tease Wolf a bit about his canteen that has the stove, and I used to tease him and it has everything but the outhouse that came along with his canteen, until on a cold day he made us hot tea when we were out in the bush in about 3 minutes, and it was like, oh my God, I'd never leave the house without this again, you know? It's one of those deals. It's a stupid little gimmicky thing until you need it.
True. Okay. Wolf's coming along all the time then.
and you know,
whenever
the other
we
thing
go
camping,
we
company,
have to bring a wolf.
And having a company and having, you know, because we have a very popular YouTube channel and everything else, which is that the YouTube channel is Barefoot Bushcraft, but the O's are zeros. You know, companies send us gear to review on a regular basis, whether it be these, you know, buckles or tents or whatever. And we have, you know, the professional relationships with some really great companies, like Right in the Rain Paper, you know, which a lot of people think is gimmicky, but I love it. And I know, Rhonda, you have a couple of samples of that. Have you had a chance to actually use it in the rain yet?
I have, actually. I went to my fifth spot and did journaling out there with the one of the pads that I got, and I loved it. It didn't smear or anything. It was awesome, and I didn't have to worry about covering my paper to write, and I could just write just normally. So, yeah, I loved it. For people who are outdoors all the time who do journaling, it's great. I think it's a great product.
I use mine a lot professionally. I'm sorry?
I'm just wondering if Dennis had a chance to try it.
I've used it once or twice, and the one time I was using it was when I was trying to figure out a way to set up a tent. I was able to work it out using a pen and paper, how to set the ropes up, and for me it was very helpful because it just made it a lot easier for me to visualize it.
Mm. And on that note, we have come to that time again. It is the end of the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show here on Freedomizer Radio. So please tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.